you, Kathy and Sandra and Kevin. It's good to see you all here this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about raising the perfect child. Scripture is Psalm 127, verse 3. How to raise the perfect child. I was able to do that with one. Which one? I don't know. No, just joking. I had two perfect children. They owe it all to their mother. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this time we have to be here to worship together today. And Father, we just pray that you'll be with us. We look through these scriptures this morning. As parents, Father, as grandparents, just as adult examples to children, we have a big responsibility. And Father, we pray that we might be willing to shoulder that responsibility and to do what you would have us to do. And Father, we just pray now that you'll guide us throughout this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of the sermon this morning was Having a Perfect Child, Some Assembly Required. Don't you hate to see that on a box when you buy it? That actually means they have made all the parts and just thrown it in the box. And you've got to put the whole thing together there. And you know, that's a challenge for me. I don't know why. I actually did work in maintenance for 8 years at Ford Motor Company down there. I put multi-million dollar things together, repaired those, and I can get a $49 vacuum and spend a half a day trying to figure out where those screws go in that thing. Some assembly required. That's frightening when we read it. It's frightening when we think of it as parents, too, isn't it? Because if we're going to have a perfect child, we're going to have a big responsibility in that. We're going to have to do what God has told us to do. You see, when children are born, you don't get a book of instructions with them. They say, here, this is what you do in every situation. You've got to learn what to do. You've got to learn a lot of times from your mistakes. But God has given us a manual that helps us tremendously as we look at that. I remember the little story about the guy that was the child psychologist and he used to go around and lecture. He wasn't married. He had no children. His lecture was 10 commandments for parents. And then he got married and he had the first child. He gave the same lecture, but he then entitled it 10 hints for parents. Well, then he had the second child born. After learning from the second child, he changed it to 10 suggestions for parents. And then he had the third child born. And he tore the lecture up and threw it in the trash can. Have you ever noticed the person who knows the most about rearing children is the person who doesn't have any children? Have you ever heard them stand up and say, if that was my child, I'll tell you what I would do. If that was my child will never do that. How many times have parents we had to eat those words? My child will never lay down in the middle of the mall and kick and scream and lay there and shout and everybody look. No, not mine. Not till you got to the mall they didn't, did they? You know, God's given us a great responsibility with our children. Great responsibility in rearing our children. A great responsibility that we can't shun. And if we don't do it right, then we're going to find there's going to be disaster in our children's life. Now, Mark Twain had an idea about it. I'm not sure whether Mark Twain had children or not. But Mark Twain said, when you have children and they turn into the teenage years, you put them in a barrel and feed them through the knot hole in the barrel. And then when they get to be 16, you plug up the knot hole. Now, I didn't say that, kids. That's what Mark Twain's idea of parenthood was. And certainly we know that's not real viable there. The two little boys were discussing their families one day, and one of them said, you know, I'm really worried about my family. My father, he works a second job in order to make money to buy me everything I need, in order that I'll have enough money to go to whichever college that I want to go to. My mother, she cleans up after me. She picks up everything. She picks the meals that I like. She carries me everywhere. And the little boy looked at him and said, you've got that and you're worried about it? He said, I'm worried that one day they're going to try to escape. You know, that's it. And we do all these things for our children. Do we do too much sometimes? Maybe we don't put on them the responsibility that they ought to have. And maybe they sit around and pray we're going to escape, because there will come that day when the parents will escape. There will come that day when the children are going to be out and they're going to be on their own. James Dobson said, raising a child is like baking a cake. You don't know it's a disaster until it's too late. So there are certain things that we need to do as parents and as grandparents. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Our scripture there, the first one is, realize your children are given to you as a gift. In Psalm 127, verse 3, he says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They are a gift from God, a gift that God has given you. Now, I know sometimes we wonder about that gift. Did this gift come from God? Why are they acting like the devil if this gift came from God? But it did. It's a precious gift that God has given you, that God has entrusted you as parent and to have a child. And the responsibility that he's placed upon you, and that he loans you that child. It's on loan. One day that child's going to leave. One day you're going to be separated from that child in some way or the other. But God has got that child on loan to you right now. Appreciate those children. It's a precious gift from God. You may be like the woman that her friend asked her one day. She said, if you had it to do over again, would you have children? She said, oh, yes. But not the same ones. So maybe you feel that way. Maybe you want somebody else's kids out there. But God has selected you, particularly if you have a child, and put that child into your home. Craig was talking about Bill Harbison and the great gift that Bill's estate has given us here. And you know, I think all of you knowing Bill Harbison, and I never had an opportunity to know his wife, knew that when Michael came, he put Michael in the right home, didn't he? He put him in there with parents that were going to love him, dedicate themselves to him. You see, that's what God's given you, this precious gift. And he picked you out to get that gift that you have got. First thing, remember your children are a gift. Second thing, have unconditional love for them. That agape love. You know, that's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. We talk about the agape love, and the agape love just means it's a love that gives and gives and gives. And sometimes it doesn't get anything back, but it still keeps on giving. The unconditional love. Never let your children hear you say, well, if you do so-and-so, then mommy and daddy will love you. Because they immediately assume the opposite on that, that if I don't do this, mom and daddy are not going to love me. Your love can never be conditional. It can't be placed upon any condition whatsoever. It's an unconditional love that you have for your children. A love that, once again, just gives and gives and gives. Then the next thing is, he gives us the responsibility to train our children up in the way they should go. That's a challenge sometimes, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but it also brings great rewards when it's done like God would have it to be done. That comes from over in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Training a child is a great responsibility. It really is. And only you as parents can do it right. You can't put that responsibility off on somebody else. That's what many of our parents today are doing. They love to put the responsibility to train their child up, and they want to put it in the daycare, or they want to put it in the school system, or they want to put it in the babysitter, or they want to put it in somebody else. No, it's your responsibility. Train up a child the way that he shall go. Now, let me tell you something about that verse. That verse is not a guarantee. The Proverbs are not guaranteed. What the Proverbs are, they are principles that if you follow these principles, there will be a normal reward that will come to you. Because we all know some people have been very, very good parents and had very, very bad kids. And it also works the other way, too. But you see, the root word of what he's saying in this is train up the child. The root word of the train up in the Greek was the same word that meant the palate of your mouth. And it referred back to the time when a child would be born and That midwife would take a little mixture of dates and stir that up and rub it around, and then would take those dates and rub it on the gums of the newborn baby. The newborn baby then, because that was on there, would begin to suck. And the newborn baby could be nursed, and the newborn baby could be nourished. He says, train up a child. What's he saying here? Create a thirst in your children for the right things. Not a thirst for the things of the world. Create a thirst in your children for God, that they'll thirst for God. They'll want to know about God. They'll want to learn about God. You know, over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have these, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 5. And he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, teach your children about God wherever you are. It doesn't make any difference. When you're walking in the way, he says, teach them about God. Talk to them about God. You talk to them about everything else. Talk to them about God. Talk about what a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a great God that we have and what God can do in their life. Then he comes to that part that maybe is the hardest part for most of us. Discipline your children. Proverbs 29, verse 15. He says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother unto shame. And if you skip down to the 17th verse, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yet he shall give delight, he says, unto thy soul. Perhaps the hardest part of it is accepting this responsibility, isn't it? How do we discipline our children? How do we do it? We know that some people go to extremes in disciplining their children. We know we see on TV over and over again where children are carried into the emergency room where people have just lost it. They've just lost every sense that they have in trying to discipline a child and trying to do something. And they harm that child. That's not what he's talking about here at all. It's a great responsibility that we have. And God has given us that. And when you do it right, he says, what are you going to have? You're going to have rest. You're going to be able to rest from it because you've done it right and your child is disciplined. Don't expect society to discipline it. No, not at all. Society is not going to do that. It's up to you as the parent to do that. And he says, if you don't discipline them, what are you going to have? Heartache, pain, a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. I know some years or so ago, I read this little thing to you from the Houston Police Department, but I think it bears looking at again in there. This was the Houston Police Department just put out this thing, how to raise a juvenile delinquent. They said, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants, and in this way, he will grow up to believe that the world owes him a living. Boy, that's a characteristic we have today. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him, and this will make him think that he is cute. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. You would be surprised how many times I've heard that, and you probably have to, oh, well, I don't want to influence them. You know, when they get older, I know that they'll make that decision. Number four, avoid the use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex, and this will condition him to believe later, when he's arrested for stealing a car, that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Number five, pick up everything that they leave lying around. Do everything for them. And then in their experience, they will find that they can always throw the responsibility on somebody else. Number six, let him read any kind of printed matter that he can get his hands on. Now be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are all sterilized, but let his mind feast on the garbage that the world gives. Number seven, quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be really shocked when the family breaks up. Number eight, give a child all the spending money that he wants. Never let him earn his own. Number 9, satisfy his every craving for food or drink or comfort so that every sensual desire that he has is met. Number 10, take his part against neighbors, against teachers, against the policeman. They're all prejudiced and they're all just against your child. Number 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him. Number 12, prepare for a life of grief, because if you follow this, you're going to have it. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And yet that is what we see so many times in our society today, and we see so many parents are more following these 12 things not to do than they are following the things that God gives us and tells us as parents what we are supposed to do. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he has two words over there that talks about our response and the method of discipline of our children. Ephesians 6, 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training, he said, and the admonition of the Lord. That admonition means a gentle reproof to your children. Speak to your children. Let me give you 5 things here that are reminders for parents. He says, never discipline in anger. Pick your battles. Not everything is worth a fight. Realize that even children need to express anger from time to time. Choose the best time and place to discipline. Never discipline in public, always discipline in private. And choose your words carefully and speak in a soft tone of voice. Choose your words carefully. You know, we need to do that in everything. We need to choose them carefully in all of our responses, because there's a lot of time we have to eat them, don't we? So you need to put them out there. Choose them carefully. Over in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Discipline. It's hard. You know, the word discipline itself means conflict. It means you're trying to get somebody to do something that they probably really don't want to do. And you're trying to discipline them. You're trying to help them along that line. Don't try to discipline by yelling. Don't try to discipline by out-yelling your child there and letting it turn into some kind of a yelling match. Don't lower your position as the parent down to that level. Remember, you are the parent. You are the one who is in charge. And you need to take charge of that home. Another thing that we find in the scripture is simply be willing to admit you are wrong. Be willing to admit that you're wrong. You know, not every parent is always going to be right. Being wrong is human. It's human. Go ahead and admit it. Now, I know most of you moms, you don't have any problem admitting you're wrong. But I know some of you dads, and I know what we mean. It is hard to admit we're wrong, isn't it? And some will, they go to the grave and never admit that they were wrong on something. Admit you're wrong to your children. Hey, it may come as a surprise, but they know you're not perfect. They know you make mistakes. Be willing to admit it when you have made that mistake. Be willing to come to them and say, listen, I am sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I was wrong in that situation. And that idea that good parents always produce good children and bad parents always produce bad children doesn't hold up, does it? We all know good parents who have produced a son or a daughter that was just bad. I mean, just really bad. We know, on the other hand, there have been terrible parents, and people come out of that situation and they come out of that being a very good, responsible Christian person. So it doesn't always hold up. But what the scripture is giving you here are principles. Principles that will normally bring the desired result that you're looking for. Whether it's discipline, whether it's love, whatever it might be, they will bring that result. You see, what you've got to remember is, no matter how good a parent you are, your child has a freedom of choice. They can accept Jesus Christ or not accept Jesus. We would hope that you would be doing everything you could to lead them in that direction if they have not, but they have the freedom of choice. They can decide to be good or they can decide to be bad. And you've got to realize that. And all you could do is just keep pumping the positive things in. Keep putting that before them. When you lie down, when you sit up, when you stand up, when you're in the way, keep giving them the things of God. Follow those principles. That's what it means in the scripture. If you follow them, then you're probably going to have the good result. If you don't follow them, then you're going to have disastrous results in your family. And like that saying that James Dobson said, you won't know it's a disaster until it is too late. Know the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Teach the Word of God unto your children. And pray every day for your children. Pray this one thing for them every day in your prayer. Don't forget this. I know you're praying for their safety and you're praying for their health, but you pray every day that God's will be done in your children's life. Not your will, because your will may be totally different from what God's will is. Pray that God's will be done in your life and God's purpose will be accomplished through your child. That's what you need. That's the most important thing. It's not that they graduate from the greatest university. It's not that they get a job making the most money out there. It is that God's will be done and God's purpose be accomplished in their life. Pray that every day. As we conclude our service this morning, we're going to conclude it with a baby dedication. Gabe and Michelle and Jacob will come forward and bring Gabe and Michelle with him, I guess.